Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. We're coming to you live this July 25th, 2020. Beautiful Saturday morning. A little cool here, about 59 degrees at the Radio Ranch. And I got to tell you, that's just a little cool for the end of July. Neighbors yesterday said he's seen it snow in July. I don't know that I've seen that. I've seen it snow in June out here, but not July. But we welcome you. We say good morning, and we've got a full crew this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
And Tim in Nebraska, thank you for joining us as well. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And we say good morning and welcome to you, the remnant. We hope that you have your coffee poured. We hope you have your Bibles with you and out and open. And we thank you for taking the time this morning to join us. We will have the phone lines open this morning, and we'll give that number out here in just a little bit. But Jason, we'd ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we're to go. And Father, we pray that you just use us in a mighty and powerful way to be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, here we are, use us, and we ask that you continue to protect us and keep us safe and keep our wives and our children safe in these times that we're living in. And Father, we're living in perilous times, and we just ask for your angels to be stationed about us. Put a hedge of protection around us, a shield of light, a ring of fire that no evil can penetrate in any way, shape, or form. We pray that you allow us to be a light into a dark world and help us to spread the good news and the gospel and hope. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Yeah, hallelujah. Well, Remnant, again, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. It's called live radio. And so if you have a question or a comment you'd like to call in, you can sure do that, 307-745-5913. And Tim, we'll go down to you in Nebraska. We'll start with you this morning, if that's all right. I was thinking last week we really didn't get to talk with you a whole lot, but how do you see things going on? What would you like to start with this morning?
Well, I guess I could, you know, we're not under the same kind of stress here that a lot of the country is. I mean, so for us, and not saying there isn't any, because certainly people are worried here, and we're seeing a lot of, but we're, you know, the crops are in, and at least externally, things don't look too bad. I mean, but people are concerned financial-wise. We're seeing a lot of those kind of things go on. But when we look at around the rest of the country, there's parts of this country that look war-torn. I mean, it's amazing to me. And we're seeing a lot of these big companies that want to instigate, you know, mask wearing, and they're actually, it's the strangest thing to me, because we're kind of isolated from some of these events. Like, we don't seem to have a lot of BLM activity here, which is okay. I mean, that's, I think, a blessing. But it's interesting that people are concerned here, and they're worried about it, but we've got these big companies. They want to bring in all of the same rules and regulations, and I know, for example, the evil empire, what we call Walmart, you know, brought in this, they're making everybody wear masks all of a sudden now to go into the store. They mandatory mask everybody for that store, and we were watching the store, and you know, it's a small community, so everybody knows somebody, but supposedly their traffic down about 50% since they instigated that. And the upside is the small businesses in the community that aren't doing that are more locally owned and everything, their business is way up. And so I guess that's the good side. And we look around the country, don't see these other places, and it just leaves you. I mean, oh Lord, what a, what a mess, and protect your people. I mean, we've seen a lot of that go on, and there's a lot of unrest, but and then all of the things that are shut down and all of the things that are, it's just strange to watch. We don't have those kinds of numbers that they're talking about, and praise the Lord, the governor here seems to be not interested in following suit. So, you know, we're feeling blessed. I mean, truly.
Yeah, we see that.
Yeah, you can see the attack going on the small businesses, especially you know, the large businesses, Walmart and all them. They're falling in line with the agenda, so to speak. And but the small businesses, a lot of them are trying to thwart the government's plans with regards to these masks and things. Brother Ralph sent me a picture of a sign that Springfield, Missouri passed a mandatory mask law, and people are putting up signs on their establishments that say, you know, that there's a local mask law that has been passed. But if you have a medical condition and you can't wear a mask, that's fine, and we won't ask you because it's against the law. And then they list, you know, the HIPAA laws and whatever else there is. And pretty significant, pretty smart. Yeah, but you know, the Fed is already talking about Pelosi saying that, yeah, we're going to withhold the coronavirus funding from states who don't pass mandatory mask laws. And so, yeah, this is it's quite the battle for sure.
Yeah, one of the guys said the other day, it's not a mask, it's a muzzle. You know, and it's like, that's true. You know, that's
the face diaper is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. They just want to muzzle people so that, you know, they can't. Well, we were in a place yesterday there, it was actually a gun shop, and he had a sign on the door that said, don't enter my store with a mask on. You know, if you want to wear a mask, it's your right, but not here. So, and while we were in there, one of the guys said, there was two or three people came in with their masks on, and they were asked to either remove the mask or leave. And practically every one of them, as you can well imagine from the mindset, they left. And in a huff, you know, it was like, well, whatever. He goes, I don't need you anyway. So, you know, praise the Lord, there's people out there who are willing to take a stand, right? So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, thankfully there are still those Calebs out there that have a different spirit than the masses. It continues to remind me of the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And that's why they walked for 40-some-odd years until that generation died, because they could not get over that spirit of Egypt, that spirit of slavery, that spirit of, well, at least we had graves in Egypt. And, you know, why have you brought us out here to die? And that same spirit seems to be how the majority of people are today, that, oh, we have to wear a mask. We have to. I saw a good quote yesterday that said the wearing of the mask it's to calm anxiety, is how they put it out. To calm anxiety. And, it gets called everything but what it is. And it certainly has moved, from a place of caution or prevention to a piece of control. And that's what we're seeing. But it's good that this is happening, because it's waking people up. You know, it's got people talking about, oh, well, what's next? If I have to wear a mask, then I have to have a chip in my hand to buy groceries too, right? And people are talking about, oh, is this the leading into the mark of the beast? And, I'm hearing that from people, you know, from the Judeo-Christians that are seeing when they didn't see before, that they're seeing that this is a control issue, and not a health issue.
tell you what I'm seeing that's encouraging is talking to some friends who, you know, Judeo-Christian, always have been, probably always will be. But anyways, they've left their churches too. And these are, you know, rather large churches. I wouldn't say they're mega churches, but they're you know, maybe four large churches in this area. And these churches, the pastors are basically coming out in support of Black Lives Matter. And, you know, they could see over the last couple of years, they've started to, they used to like celebrate 4th of July and celebrate veterans and things like that. And you could see the curve of, pulling away from that kind of stuff. And one of them is an older man, kind of set in his ways, and even says it's probably a problem that I'm so set in my ways. And anyways, he had written a letter to the pastors, and the pastors tried to justify it. And after being at that church for 40 years, him and his wife left, and his family left, you know, his children with their families. And so this stuff is there's some people that are taking a stand. It's interesting how Pastor always told us that the 501c3 churches, you know, basically had handed over the headship of their church to the state when they signed that agreement with regards to being tax exempt. And then, you know, a lot of those churches put their hand out for that PPP money. And so they, you know, they showed who their master is, and now they have to obey their master. And people are starting to see that. I had my Wednesday morning prayer breakfast. It was interesting. There's a couple of pastors in there, so you can imagine the shock that they get when typically I lead that thing, and I brought a condensed message of the mask wearing and the occult rituals that they're performing, and exposed Black Lives Matter. And two of these pastors, they had no idea. And I could actually see them going to their phones and looking up the Black Lives Matter website because they didn't believe what I was telling them. And it's there's a lot of people that are waking up, like you said, and a lot of them are in a quandary too, because they believed the lie for so long and supported the lie and been part of the lie that it's hard to pull away from it once you've been sucked into that cult so badly, especially if your livelihood depends on it.
I think that's a great we see a great example of that very thing, John, in that St. Louis couple that got blasted out on the media for how dare they defend their home after their private gated neighborhood had been broken into by an armed mob of over 200 people screaming that they were going to kill them and burn them and all that stuff. And so even the left-wing liberal lawyers that were big civil rights defenders and had been BLM supporters in the past, you know, they even came out and with their firearms and said, no, you're not going to kill my wife. You're not going to kill her dog. You're not going to burn our house down. And just the threat of that worked. The mob went on. Now, of course, the powers that be in St. Louis, the attorney general, the mayor, and all those, they're bringing charges against the people. How dare you defend yourself against this mob? And you know, in their eyes, the mob is right.
It's just the prosecutor, because the mayor and the attorney general and the governor are backing them. They're saying they're going to pardon them no matter what they do. So it's just this one stupid attorney prosecutor who won't let it go. But yeah, it is interesting to see. I mean, they've changed their tune, that's for sure.
Yes.
When you think about what they used to believe and support. I thought it was really funny when Ted Wheeler, I think he's the mayor of Portland, pretty sure, and he was out there trying to support Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and they dang near run him off, tried to kill him pretty much. So
Yep, saw that same thing in New York City. The police commissioner and like five of the policemen that were with him got beat with bats, and they didn't defend themselves. They didn't defend themselves. They just let themselves get beat. You know, whereas 2 weeks previous, they were out there kneeling with the protesters and carrying on a conversation. And then last week they tried that and they got beaten about the head and bloodied and,
Yeah. Well, it hit pretty close to home last Sunday. They had a rally for supporting the police in Denver in, Civil something park, I forget the name, but right next to the Capitol. And basically the supporters of the Blue Lives Matter were in this bandshell area, and then the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter were over in another part of the park. And then if you listen carefully to the news reports, you can hear that they say, yeah, the pro-police supporters were in the band shelter, and the Antifa was, you know, in this other side of the park. And then they converged together in the band shelter. Well, wait a minute. If they were in the band shelter and these people were in another part of the park and they converged together, that sounds to me like they came over to the band shelter. And they did. And Sheriff Steve Reams, the county next to us here, Weld County, he's a pretty good old boy and God-fearing man that believes in the Constitution and protecting the rights of the American citizen. And he was there not in capacity as a sheriff, but just as an observer. And he said, you have to come down here and see what they've done to the city of Denver. He said, I can't even describe it. He said, come down during the day. Don't come down by yourself. Don't get out of your car and don't get too close. But he says, I can't describe it. So the damage that's been done to the Capitol and to these parks and all of this is just, like you said, indescribable. And then, anyway, so 4 to 5 times the number of Antifa and Black Lives Matter surrounded the bandshell with these people that were supporting the police. And they had those expandable batons and just started beating people. And there were some conservative speakers there, some guy running for House representative here in Colorado. And basically they said they were lucky to escape, maybe not with their lives, but without being, you know, severely beaten. And that's where we're at, you know. And then comes out that the police were told to stand down. Well, where does that come from? Obviously it comes from the governor. So these are interesting times. You need to be ready for anything.
Amen.
But the other thing was that our sheriff, I don't know, did you see that, Jason? Justin Smith, our sheriff here in Larimer County, he said they're having a rally this week. I'm thinking about going to it, actually, this weekend to support Blue Lives. And he said, if you think we're going to stand down like they did in Denver, guess again. And so it could get interesting.
Yeah, the whole thing reminds me of what Pastor used to say about the, you know, the elephant on his little table there. And the elephant are the godly people of our nation. And, you know, they've been taught since they were little that they have all these limitations and they have all these, you know, they can't do this and they can't do that. But it's like, you know, God's like, well, if you don't want to do it, this is what's going to happen. And sooner or later, that leash is not going to work. I mean, they're seeing that more and more. People are stirring themselves up, and they're becoming, it's righteous indignation that we see going on. You know, you're not going to punch some one of our women in the face just because she won't get down on her knees to you, or she, you know, different things like that. We're seeing a lot of these things going on, and it's coming, and that time has arrived when those things they're being stirred up. You know, I think it's the thing. So I think they're seeing that stirring coming in what's going on. So it's all around us, and and there's defense. And I was like you. I thought Mike Parson's deal in Missouri down there. I heard him on an interview yesterday, and he said, well, I don't care what this Kim, whatever her name is, she's the prosecutor down there. I don't care what she does. They're never going to jail. They're never going to, I mean, they're going to be pardoned. And he said, I don't know what judge signed this order for them to go in and take their stuff and do this search and seizure. But, he said, you know, these people need to be, removed. He said, obviously I can't remove them. I'm just a governor. There's elected officials there and appointed officials that I have no power over. But he said, their day is coming, you know. I was like, you go. I appreciate that. So, you know, I just pray that the Lord protects him and continues to give him a backbone. So, and,
yeah, one thing,
there's a lot of this going on.
One thing that was encouraging, that there was a national poll about the things that are going on in the world right now, and 65% of the people believe that it's God's judgment for the way that the United States has turned to immorality and removed God from everything. So that's encouraging if you think about it.
It is.
But the sad thing was, too, that they did a poll on what people are doing with regards to the time that they had, the extra time that they had from being in lockdown or from losing their jobs or whatever, and actually the number of people who are reading their Bibles had declined. So the majority of people have turned to Netflix and all this TV and movies and all this other stupid stuff, and so that's a little disheartening.
I don't know if you saw, it was encouraging, not because Major League Baseball started back up. I don't watch that. I won't follow the no effing longer NFL and any of that. Even NASCAR. NASCAR sold out as well. But Washington Nationals and New York Yankees started a game. They had a big deal about all of them taking a knee in honor of Black Lives Matter. And all of them did, except for one man. One man. Giants pitcher Sam Coonrod. I think that's how you say his name. He refused to kneel during the Black Lives Matter moment. Why? He said, I'm a Christian, and I can't kneel before anything besides God. And he did that before Joe Public and before the TV and the reporters, and then even after when they came and talked to him. That's what he said. He said, I'm a Christian, and he said, he's 27 years old. He said there's aspects of the movement that he disagrees with. And so, you know.
That's in San Francisco.
That was, is that where it was?
San Francisco.
It was,
yeah.
The Washington Nationals playing the New York Yankees. So I thought it was East Coast, mm-hmm. but, anyway, I thought it was encouraging that.
Or maybe he's from, I think he's from San Francisco. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah, but he's like their relief pitcher. And, you know, and yeah. Folks, that's what it means to not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. He's playing the game. Everybody else bowed, you know, bent their knee to this false small g God, and he didn't. And he didn't. And he said, no, I'm a Christian. And, they, you know, this BLM, they are, anti-family was one of the things that he said. And I like it. You know, and he puts it out. I've read about Black Lives Matter.
I thought it was
how they lean against Marxism, he says, and how they're negative about the nuclear family. He says, I can't get on board with that. Let me tell you, that took guts to do that. Anyway, I it was encouraging to me.
One of the other ones that has encouraged me is the fact that rodeo is one of the few sports out there that the hats still come off and the national anthem's played and they have prayer before the rodeos, and oh my goodness, they're just having a fit about it. And I haven't really seen any official write-ups yet, but I thought it was interesting that they're, you know, God bless the Cowboys. They're out there saying, this is our country and we love it, and we're going to pray to our God, and we're going to take a knee, all right? We're going to take a knee and pray before we go out there and ride those bulls in the Bronx, and we're not going to apologize to anybody for it, you know? So, and that's just my opinion of what I've seen of them, but hey, there's one for you. Another sign.
That's right. I didn't get to go, but last Saturday over in Saratoga, they had a rodeo. My neighbor Paul and my son George and a couple other guys from around here got to go, and they said that same thing. There were over 300 people there. The stands were packed. Everybody that brought food, the concession people, all ran out because of the support. And he said that there wasn't a mask in the place. And it was great. He said that, you know, that absolutely everybody was up singing the national anthem and, great prayers. Said the little rodeo queen and the lady in waiting and then the little 12-year-old, you know, whatever that come out, that all three of them, when they told their little history, the little thing they wrote about, all three of them were professing Christians and said that in their little, you know, this is Susie Adams and she goes to school here and she's this and she wants everybody to know she's a Christian and loves Jesus. And all three of those girls did that. And so, like you started with, Tim, about small town America, it's, you know, there's hope. There's still those people that aren't ashamed, that aren't. Regardless of what the media says, regardless of what Pelosi or Schumer say, regardless of what they are doing and trying to do, that his people are still there and still love him and aren't ashamed.
Amen.
Well, Remnant, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913.
Yeah, it was interesting because last week we talked a little bit about a farm and ranch store down the road, Jack's, that had decided to take out some of the their blue line gear and attire. And boy, I sure like seeing it when these liberals have to eat crow. They came out with a public statement just in the last couple of days that said, recently we made a quick decision to remove some products from our shelves, which sent an incomplete message to our customers about our values. This had unintended consequences, and we now see how this decision gave the wrong impression to first responders and our community. This was not our intention. And it goes on and on and on to basically apologize to the community for making a decision. Well, the reason that they apologized and came out with a statement is because they lost a lot of money. It was pretty interesting. There was people that were coming out of the woodwork that were protesting Jack's. And shortly after they came out and made their decision to do that, I'll tell you what, that parking lot was pretty slim. And that has not been very common for that place recently. And there was people that heard about it that just made up the decision, we're not going back. So
is that both Jack's, Jason, or just the farm and ranch?
No, both of them.
I still say we boycott it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, when people make a decision based solely on financial gain or loss, I'm pretty sure you could call that a horror, you know? So,
exactly.
That's what they are. They're just horrors. So, oh, well,
you made your choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, they did make their choice.
They actually defended it.
The owner actually defended it himself, you know? A buddy of mine knows the owner, lives up close to him, and he basically said that he defended it, you know, and he defended it in the paper, and he defended it on apparently social media, and then all of a sudden now, because it's affecting him financially, I mean, seriously, something like that could totally destroy his empire, and it is an empire, but and then you change your mind? Nah, too late. You had a chance to rebut that twice, and you defended your decision. So, sorry.
That might have been a good business decision to do at some places, but not here.
No.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I watched I like NASCAR, you know, mainly because it was our people, you know, Southern people, and it was, you know, it's kind of redneck. And the last Brickyard 400, obviously there was nobody in the stands, but I watched part of that, and they said it was the worst viewed NASCAR race in history. And I got news for them. It's just going to continue that way. I know people who are just sports fanatics, you know. Everything was sports. You know, they watch every basketball game, every football game, every baseball game, this and that. They're not watching anything. They said, I'm done. I'm not watching NFL. I'm not watching NBA. I'm not watching MLB. I'm not watching anything. And so I think that's encouraging, too.
It is. I was just recently talking to some people, and they were big NFL fans, and they're like, nope, never again.
I've been hearing a lot of that as well. And like we know, there's no vacuum. Suddenly, that's going to free up a lot of time. The next question is what are they going to fill it up with? You know, so we need to continue to pray that God will light their fire toward spiritual enlightenment, toward seeking Him.
That's right.
There is. I'm seeing the same thing around here. There's just tons of people that are like, I'm done. I'm done with the NFL. I'm done with. And this is, I don't know anybody who knows anything about this part of the country. It's football country. I mean, football is like, you know, that's a, you're an odd man out if you don't know. I mean, I'm not much of a football guy, but I kind of keep track of a little bit just because you've got to be able to talk with people a little bit, you know. It's like, wow, that's nice. So there's a lot of people that are really upset with what's going on, and I just think that's the Lord working on the hearts and souls of His people, you know. So and there's no vacuum. We know that. Pastor used to say that, you know, that people sacrifice to what they believe in and they spend their money for those sort of things. And there's a real realignment of values going on out there. And, you know, I don't think that the whole world is going to change or the whole country is going to change. And I think if we have that expectation, we're probably going to be disappointed. But I think if we realize that God is calling His remnant and has been patient to do so, and we see those people coming out, it's an amazing thing going on right now as far as seeing people. I mean, I'm having an opportunity to talk to people that I've never had an in with before, or, you know, and I see a lot of heads going up and down when we're talking about that, that you would have never seen before. So what a field of opportunity exists out there right now, I think.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give a call.
Well, then we got this hurricane that's headed towards Texas, and, you know, it's going to be interesting just to see how that they, you know, how, you know, since we're in a pandemic, you know, basically in chaos already in some of these towns, and how they're going to deal with a natural disaster on top of it. It's going to be real interesting on, you know, as soon as some of this other stuff starts happening.
Yeah, it's supposed to hit Hawaii too, and I don't know if you saw this week though, a storm just blew into New York City, 75 mile an hour winds and purple lightning. There was a video clip of it that just, and it hit the New World Trade Center thing too, the lightning. So, I mean, God's definitely showing, revealing Himself in these things that are going on.
Amen. Well, guys, let's try the phone line this morning. Good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is George Wolf.
Good morning, George.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest praying, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
Amen.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's for the remnant. I'll get off the line so you can continue with your conversation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, George.
You
God bless.
Good Jesus. Thank you. Glorified day today.
You too. Amen. Amen to that. Well, thank you, Brother George. And, you know, in the biblical way of battle, that's who goes first are the singers. Those that are singing and praising and blowing on the trumpets and the cymbals and hallelujah. Let's stay with the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, this is Patrick. I've been trying to call in today and couldn't get in with my phone, so I had to use a different phone. I was just enjoying the conversation and just wanted to, you know, thank you all for prayers and stuff for our trip out to the Black Hills. And you know, there's some big Trump territory out there. You know, they have little stores and shops all over the place and selling Trump merchandise and things like that. And so we had a good time. You know, so then after we left there, you know, we had family up in North Dakota, so we traveled up there. But one of the routes you can take is you got to go through the Cheyenne River Indian Reservation. And they're not letting any white people onto the reservation. Matter of fact, one of my brothers that went home, he lives over in up in Fargo, and he tried to cross, and they actually turned him around. So he had to take the roundabout way to get up there. So kind of interesting.
Wow.
But
that is interesting.
I don't know. I don't know if I should say this on the air, but you know, so they'd have people. That's on Highway 212, you know, and they have people out there watching, you know, stopping traffic 24 hours a day. But you know, they had to stop having men and women at night out there because you know, you know, they just can't control themselves. So it was kind of interesting that you know. More things change and more they stay the same. So, but we had a good time. It was very enjoyable. And kind of get away from the heat. You know, we've been going through for about the last three and a half weeks, we've had high humidity and high heat. So it was good to be out in the dry heat, as they say. So.
Yeah, it's been pretty hot summer here so far. It feels like it. August, you know, the end of August or something, and it's not even the end of July. But, you know, I was thinking that if we want to end this mask mandate nationwide, all we got to do really is put on Trump masks, Trump 2020, and that'd be it. They would do away with the ban overnight.
Yep. I don't doubt it. Well, Patrick, how you see things out there in that St. Paul, Minneapolis area? How are you guys got hit pretty hard with some of this destruction that Tim was talking about earlier, I believe, didn't you?
Well, so we're about 15, 20 minutes from St. Paul, down where they had their protests. And I don't think they burnt too much stuff down in St. Paul, but over in Minneapolis is about 45 minutes from here. You know, they went into that, it was kind of a diverse community, and they burnt it all down. You know, they burnt down buildings that, businesses that minority owned businesses that they had, you know, come over here, in search of an American dream, and they just burn them down. You know, and they're angry. They're just as angry as everybody else. And so they had the governor. Our governor is requested $500 million in federal aid and to rebuild that downtown area and that neighborhood. And as far as I understand, the federal government rejected their request. They allowed their own police station to be burnt down, and so, but they had a lot, there's a lot of police that are just, they've retired or walked off the job it's kind of interesting, you know. Today we have mandatory masks. We'll see how that's going to work out. And they said, well, they don't want the police to, so the police are going to, if they catch you without your mask in a public building, you know, they're going to give you a mask. And I guess one of my comments yesterday or a couple days ago at work is, well, they couldn't even stop a mob from burning down a police station. How are you gonna enforce a mask law on 5 million people? So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Patrick, thanks for the call, buddy. We'll take another caller, and God bless you and your family.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. And we do have another line ringing. Good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning, Richard. Good morning, man.
Good morning, Joe.
Praise God. He is alive and well. John was mentioning lightning storms just a while ago, and it brought me to just a very recent thunderstorm pass through here. It was almost horizontal rain, and I was checking the weather to see if there was any tornado warnings or anything like that. Thank the Lord that there wasn't. But the one peal of thunder followed like a split second after that, with a big orange, not purple, but like an orangish red lightning bolt came straight down. And normally they go to the side, you know, and they kind of branch off, especially out here where it's wide open, kind of wide open. This came straight down, and it was almost an orange color. And strangely enough, and it wasn't but like 5 miles away, I'd say, less than 5 miles. Didn't make that much of a sound. I wonder if that was what they call a super bolt. I'm not too sure. But, yeah, it's strange how he brought that right up. John did. And, on the lines of, masks and stuff like that, I got this off of it's kind of like a weekly. Actually, it's daily. It's John Moore has a YouTube channel, and some of his guests are pretty interesting. And one time he was mentioning making a face mask out of mosquito netting, and it got me to thinking. I've got a few of those bug head nets upstairs in my stash of old when I used to be an avid bow hunter, and I found it's not mosquito netting. It's very, very loosely woven fabric, and it's got a kind of a cap on it and a collar. So I got my tweezers and a very sharp pair of scissors, and I took those caps off there, and it turns out that it's a really nice long tubular net that you can pull over your head to mask your face, and it's camo. So I started looking at it, and I said, you know, if you double this stuff up, you can't really see your nose and your mouth through it. So that's what I do. For a week now, I've been wearing that thing. And you can breathe through it and everything. And it's kind of like a social statement, I guess, a sign of rebellion. Not rebellion, but resistance. So I thought that was pretty. And up here in our county, there's really not that much different. People do wear the masks, but in most of the the clerks in the checkout counter at the store and at the post office and places where I usually go, you can see them. They got the mask around their neck, but there are a lot of times they don't wear them. And if they do, it just covers their mouth, and so they can at least breathe, you know. And I'm wondering, as the summer progresses, how many lawsuits are being brought against these counties out there, because people are just fainting because they can't get enough oxygen.
Yeah, there's a lot. It was interesting just this week, the local school districts here sent out a list of rules, including the local college, and said that you'll be required to wear a mask while on campus, outside, walking around, and in the classroom the entire time. And some of the charter schools, I just heard last night from somebody who's involved with a charter school, that their approach to this is they're taking 4 foot by 4 foot sheets of plexiglass and basically building a containment around each desk. So those children won't have to wear a mask, but they'll be like in a plexiglass box on three sides. So it's
yeah, it's like, where does it end?
Beyond belief.
It's like, where does it end? You know, it's just insanity, absolute insanity. Joe, thanks so much for the call, brother. You have a great weekend. Yeah, where does it end?
It ends when we say no, period.
It ends when, is
you got,
that's right.
You know, over half the population that's psychotic. You know, you got to laugh when you see people driving in a car by themselves with their mask on, or their husband and wife, and they both have their masks on. It's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, even old Dr. Fauci threw the pitch out at that first game that the baseball started here a while back. And then you see a couple pictures floating around everywhere that he's sitting up in the stands with his mask down around his neck, just like Joe was talking about, and sitting right next to a couple people. And it is not about a virus. It's not about health. It's about control. Who will comply and who won't? And the enemy has tried to start a race war here in this nation. That hasn't happened. And I think that this is just another it's certainly a multifaceted deal, but it's the enemy playing chess, doing just like you're saying, John, turning the American people against each other. You know, exemplifying this snitch culture. There's places that have put in fines, yeah, for not wearing a mask, and even jail time, and they've put in phone numbers you can call and snitch on your neighbor or anybody. Someone's not wearing a mask. And then, you know, the other thing is everybody's focused on the mask. Even that's what we're talking about. What's going on? What else is going on in this world? Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend, the latest arrest in this huge worldwide pedophilia case, is roaring. It is going on. It is happening. And I don't think anybody's suicided her yet, but who knows? Who knows? And I wouldn't be surprised if the powers that be that's part of this whole deal is to focus everybody on masks and on who's wearing them and who's not and what kind and everything else and where you can go without it and all that, when they're doing damage control with their filth in the background.
Yep, wag the dog. They're good at that.
Yes.
I thought another thing, speaking about other things, is it was interesting that in Texas down there, that Trump basically kicked out the Chinese consulate.
Yes.
I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday, and they were like, well, we're not going to go. You can't make us go. And Friday night, they were hammering down the back door on the Chinese consulate. You know, I mean, so... We were headed on Wednesday, they refused, and they were in there chiseling the back door off the hinges Friday night. And So they're in there, and they said the purpose of shutting it down was because of all the spy activity going on in there and all the theft activity for medical and technological.
Yeah, all the medical records and all the scientific research that they've had on all this stuff.
Yeah.
Did you see what happened, though? What's even more important is what happened. They burned it down so that there would be no records. The Chinese burned it down.
Yeah.
That ought to be enough right there.
But they only get caught. Yeah, that ought to tell you what's going on. But it's interesting. I mean, I thought that was and it barely made the news. That was one of the other things on that article that interview I heard with Mike Parson. He couldn't even get the news, press conference wise, when he was talking about those people over there in St. Louis. He couldn't even get them to pick up his interview. He finally did a call-in. I think that it was on, like, I don't remember, Rush Limbaugh or something like that. That was how he got on the air with that whole thing. They wouldn't post the stuff he was talking about. I thought that was... So, just too busy with all the other goings-ons, you know?
Yeah, well, like George said, nothing but the blood of Jesus, you know. If you're not born again to the water and the Spirit, you haven't contacted that blood, you haven't died to your old life, you haven't repented, which is the first step, then you haven't been removed from the jurisdiction of the world and put into Jesus Christ's jurisdiction, and the world can do what it wants with you. So,
amen.
The most important thing right now is, if you haven't, is to learn about baptism for the remission of sins, to repent, which is dying to your old life. Typically, you profess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and the Son of God, public profession, and then you go into that watery grave of baptism where you die to your old life. You're born again of the water and the Spirit. You come up out of that water white as snow, all your sins being forgiven. You're clothed with Christ. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and your name's entered in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the most important thing. Especially, you know, if this does come to some sort of a physical fight, what's the worst thing that they can do? Give you eternal life. That's quite an advantage fighting in a war.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've got time. I have time for one more caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Rangers.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning. It's Kevin in Ohio. Long time no talk. This whole subject, I think, is the last drive to go through all the preaching, all the learning from the Bible, ever since the Caucasian people went up through the Caucasus up to Europe. We've been leaving that world behind. It just keeps following us. And I think the big picture here is they want us to keep attacking ourselves and destroy the last vestiges of Christianity. And if you look at everything that's switched the numbers of the population of the different ethnicities in this country, now they've got us even fighting ourselves. And I can barely hear you over this telephone line. I don't know if I can hear your response or not.
Yeah, Kevin, I think you're right on. That's what the enemy does. He says, let's you and him fight. And that's just what he's done. He's put us against each other. The race wars have not worked in the attempts at that. And so that's just what he's done. Well, brother, we're out of time, but thanks for the phone call. Give us a call back next Saturday. We'll be here. Well, guys, we are about out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, callers, for calling in. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can come to church at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video stream. You'll see it right there. That's starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we'll have a little bit of everything for you. From a timeless pulpit truth, John, looking forward to your live message. We'll have communion. And so we do. We invite you. You can come and fellowship with like-minded believers. And we do ask, if you're coming in person, give us a heads up. Let us know. We're not going to make you wear a mask, but we'd sure like to know if you're coming. So, well, men, again, thanks. And we'll see you at church tomorrow.